This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The broken windows policing syndrome, sweeping through the late 20th century, to my knowledge, in New York City. And the way I interpreted it at the time was, you've got to start somewhere. And if you fix a broken window on a street, chances are you're going to eventually find you live in a safe, clean street. That was the theory. And I was attracted to it, and it worked for a time. I welcome Tal Fortgang, a legal policy fellow at the Manhattan Institute, writing most recently at Civitas Outlook, which is part of the Civitas Institute at the University of Texas in Austin. Tal, a very good evening to you. You've taken a metaphor that was successful late 20th century New York. It needs updating. However, the metaphor is useful, and you've applied it to higher education. How so? What is your thinking, Tal? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on. The broken windows theory, as you alluded to, is the idea that when a small sign of disorder is present and not fixed, people pick up on that and they recognize that they are in a disordered place where authority is not going to assert itself, and they begin to test the limits of that authority. So as you noted, fixing a broken window on a car or on a store or on an apartment building can help reverse that process. The broken windows in higher education are the small infractions that have accumulated over the years with largely progressive students shutting down speakers they don't like, trying to engage in mob campaigns against professors they don't like, occasionally engaging in acts of violence against disfavored figures who deign to speak on their campus. Those infractions were infamously hardly punished. I mean, there are dozens of incidents where speakers and professors were shouted down, assaulted, had fire alarms pulled on their speeches, and universities never found a way to punish those students. And in doing so, they left those broken windows unfixed. They never signaled that the authorities were present and that this kind of disorder was not going to be tolerated. So just as crime and other forms of disorder mount and pile up where broken windows aren't fixed on city streets, so too attempts to shut down speakers and establish campus orthodoxy by force only snowballed on American campuses, culminating in the horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk just a couple of weeks before we're speaking.
I want to go back to my youth, Tal, when I was on campus and the time of the protests of the Vietnam War, because that takes out the heat of the moment here in the 21st century and goes back to a time I hardly hear spoken of anymore. There's a new book out called McNamara at War. And I'm sure that that phrase means very little to younger people today. It meant a great deal in 1970, for example, and the late 1960s. And I can recall one particular instance on campus where the Secretary of the Interior, a former governor of Alaska, was coming to speak. And there were loud protests that it was wrong of the university to permit him to speak because, and then there was the leap to the Vietnam War. This is the late 60s. There were other instances, but that's the one that's most vivid in my mind because I wanted to go to the event. It was at the gymnasium, and I was pushed away when I saw there was a commotion in the front of the building. Didn't know what it was, but it wasn't a great choice to go into the commotion, so I went on to the library or whatever I was doing that night. Now, I mean to give that example because this is going to be a story that is repeated 50 years from now, we can presume. You're speaking to something that comes up. And I'm wondering, you used a word in your essay that is very helpful. What do you mean when you say the university or the college campus is a monoculture? What does that mean for the people who live in it? and are or are not aware of that observation? Monoculture.
Yeah, monoculture, I really just mean to say that there's a kind of social, cultural, political orthodoxy on campus where it doesn't even occur to many of the people making the decisions that they are taking a position in a live argument, because it seems like whatever they believe is already common knowledge. When you get stuck in a monoculture, you can end up making decisions that are not quite based in neutral principle, like we do not allow students to destroy a campus group that is tabling, right? If Turning Point USA has a stand on campus during some kind of campus fair, you're not necessarily going to enforce that rule when students who represent the monoculture destroy that table, which is something that has happened so many times, countless times on college campuses. That's one of the factors that plays into the lack of repair to the broken windows. If everyone looks around and says, like, broken windows are just a perfectly acceptable part of our local culture, as long as there are kinds of broken windows, as long as they're the kind that we find aesthetically pleasing, to extend the metaphor, that's one of the ways you really get into trouble.
Underlining this is that ordinarily I would regard the behavior of anyone on campus as learning experience, but the incident in Utah means that we're dealing with deadly business. So I'm going to press this a little bit. There was humor during the time of shutting down those who disagreed with us. I remember one particular joke from Berkeley. It's unfair, but it was from Berkeley, that the hazmat teams had been called because somebody had left the Wall Street Journal front page on a park bench and walked away. So in order to dispose it, the campus didn't want to go near it. And I thought, well, that's witty. However, what you're talking about is not just witty. It's dangerous to human beings, people caught up in protests. Now, if it's the broken window we need to fix, what is the broken window? Where in the process? Universities have rules, but you identify the rules as not much enforced, or is it the university is sympathetic to the protesters and therefore doesn't enforce them? Do we know? Can we tell the difference?
That is hard to parse, but I think you're on exactly the right track, which is universities need to take a close look at how they assess what is kind of just kids being kids, being silly and maybe impassioned, and what is actually serious, deadly business, because the small things can turn into the big things very easy. If you do not keep yourself far from sin and far from error. So are they excusing bad behavior from radical students because they agree with them? Maybe because they just don't want to deal with the trouble and potentially lawsuits of expelling students. Maybe. There are all kinds of issues that arise when you have to actually deal with a problem. It's not, confrontation is rarely comfortable. And that's certainly true when it comes at the expense of college administrative jobs, which are not always easy, but they're relatively cushy jobs. So if I were a college administrator, I wouldn't want to get into the muck of actually enforcing important neutral rules. And I also want to be clear that I don't think that college administrators not expelling students is directly somehow causally responsible for the murder of Charlie Kirk. The person who murdered Charlie Kirk is responsible. I do think that as a culture, all of us play a role in shaping the way people around us and people who come after us behave by slowly setting and changing and shaping norms and expectations about what decency is, what justice requires, and therefore the way all of us ought to behave and how certain behaviors will be received. So I do think that college administrators have played a large role in allowing the campus to become a place where political intimidation and acts of silencing are considered just and righteous. And that seems to be at least part of the motivation of the killer in this massive escalation. It doesn't mean that the administrators are responsible, but it means that we should all take stock of what role we have played in getting to this point.
I'm speaking to Tal Fortgang, writing at Civitas Outlook, part of Civitas Institute, the University of Texas at Austin. He's at the Manhattan Institute. And we're going to come back because Tal has upped the game here. We've moved from the events of these last days to the question of what is the responsibility of the university and the faculty. And when we come back, most recently, Columbia University campus, I'm very familiar with it, I was there for 50 years, has faced this same story. And the answer is not easy. So what is to be done?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.